Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
When you step out the door, it's colder this morning than the last several mornings. Lots of frost on the windshields. And we're looking ahead to Friday. It's a WRAL weather alert day. I'll show you what changed overnight with our risk levels.
We have breaking news out of Fayetteville, where police remain on the scene of a crash that left a person dead. Brett Neese is there in the WRAL breaking news tracker.
And today you can weigh in on plans for the fastest growing part of Wake County, coming up on how what you say today could impact the future of that area.
Republican presidential candidates are getting their parting shots in before next week's Iowa caucuses.
She blames other people. Leadership is about getting things done.
If you can't manage a campaign, how are you going to manage a country?
Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley trade barbs as former President Trump touts his lead in the polls. Well, it is 6 o'clock. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for waking up with us. A lot to tell you about as we also let you know what to expect for Friday's WRAL Weather Alert Day. I'm Renee Chu.
I'm Jeff Hogan. Yeah, thanks for making us part of your Thursday here, Friday Eve. Not too early to start talking about that Weather Alert Day tomorrow. And Elizabeth Gardner of the WRAL Severe Weather Center, this graphic looks a lot like it did on Tuesday, right?
It does, definitely. We had more of our southern counties covered in that level 3 risk, but boy, it's level 2 and 3 again. We did have some changes overnight last night. Fewer of our counties are now in that level 3 risk. It's just the southwestern county, southwestern corner of Cumberland County, most of Hope County, and just a small sliver of the southwestern corner of Moore County that's included at this point. But a lot of us are under that level 2 risk. That's the area where we're likely to see straight line damaging winds. And we had a good bit of that on Tuesday. It's likely that it won't be as widespread as it was on Tuesday. And we'll talk about why coming up in a few minutes. This is where the storm system is right now. It comes swinging in here on Friday. We'll likely start Friday with some sunshine and end up at lunchtime with the skies clouding up. By the time we get to early afternoon, we'll pause it there at about 1:30. We begin to see some showers. These are not likely to be severe, but by the time we see this next round around 4 or 5 o'clock moving in, a couple of these could be severe. We're not likely to see that big potent line of thunderstorms that produced all the wind damage, but we are likely to see at least one or two of these cells producing some damaging wind and knocking down some trees. You can see the line just doesn't look as beefy there. 8:30. This is going to be the line of thunderstorms that will have the best chance of producing any severe weather. And that's going to happen during the evening hours. And it also looks like it won't be as wet. Our flooding risk from this is much lower than what we saw on Tuesday. But again, I'll talk about why we're seeing these differences coming up. Heading out the door in Durham this morning, it's chilly out there, 32 degrees, lots of frost on the windshields, a little bit of a wind chill in Fayetteville. It feels like 29. It feels like 29 in Southern Pines. It's 36 in Clinton. It's 32 in Rocky Mount, 29 in South Hill, 32 around the Triangle area. So it took me a little while to get the frost off the windshield this morning. I don't have a garage. You wish for a garage on a morning like this for sure. Temperatures are in the upper 50s this afternoon under mostly sunny skies, so nice and mild. We're going to talk about how much rain we could see tomorrow coming up. Brian?
6:03 right now, Elizabeth, and we're watching two crashes in our area. First of all, on the north side of Raleigh, they're still working to get that crash cleared from Fox Road at Old Wake Forest Road. It looks like that is well in the clearing stages at this point. Also in Johnston County, a crash on 95 southbound right around US 70 as you head through the Selma area down towards Smithfield. The right lane apparently still is blocked. Looking at sensors through there, I'm not seeing any big delays. Another update in about 10 minutes.
Thanks, Brian. Breaking news. Within the last hour, a major road in Fayetteville reopened after being shut down for hours because of a deadly crash. It happened around midnight near the intersection of Fort Bragg Road and Bragg Boulevard. Brett Neese was there in the WRAL breaking news tracker.
I spoke to a woman who works nearby. She says she watched all of this unfold here on Bragg Boulevard just before 1 a.m. Take a look at this. This is video from the WRAL breaking news tracker of the scene. That woman tells me she believes two cars hit and killed the person walking in the road. She says she heard the first collision and watched the second. That's when she and a couple of other people nearby ran out to the road to stop traffic. They then dialed 911 for help. She says neither car stopped or came back to the scene. Police spent about 4 hours here at the scene investigating. I'm asking them if they know what type of cars they're looking for. I'm also asking if they know the name of the person who died. I'll stay on top of the story and keep you updated. In Fayetteville, Brett Neese, WRAL News.
Construction in southeastern Wake County will bring big changes in the next few years. Today, we'll see new plans for the area surrounding the future NC 540 loop. It is one part of a major development project in the county. And WRL's Kelsey Coffey joins us live this morning from Garner, where in just a few hours, folks will be able to share their thoughts on all this growth. Kelsey?
Jeff, good morning. So soon people will be able to weigh in on plans for the Lower Neuse area. So right now we're on US 70 and Guy Road in Garner. So that's part of the area that we're talking about. But take a look at this map so you can see more of what's covered there. It borders Knightdale, Wendell, and Johnston County. It also includes parts of Raleigh and Garner. This is the fastest growing part of Wake County. Around 17,000 people live there, according to county documents. The Lower Neuse plan is about re-envisioning the future of that area, evaluating what homes, streets, and buildings will look like decades from now. Today, you can share your thoughts on what that future could be. And Wake County's Planning Board will meet about these plans next month. And if you want to go to that meeting today, it starts at 11:30 this morning at Good Hope Baptist Church. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News, live in Garner.
Today, the next step will begin in St. Augustine University's fight to keep its accreditation status. The university is due to get its official letter from the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools today. That letter declares the commission's intention to take away St. Aug's accreditation. The university will have until January 21st to appeal the decision. It will remain on probation during the appeals process.
Police in Hillsboro are looking for this man. They say he assaulted an officer and then dragged that officer as he drove away in an SUV. It happened at the Sheets on NC 86 Wednesday afternoon. It started when the officer confronted this man inside the store about stealing. WRL spoke with one of the officer's colleagues who described his emotions when hearing that call and his thoughts about the person responsible.
It's the most terrifying thing you ever hear over the radio is when you hear that an officer's been injured. If he's willing to assault an officer as well as then drag an officer for his vehicle in order to commit a larceny of alcohol, steal beer, I would say he is a dangerous individual.
The officer who was hurt was taken to the hospital with minor injuries. The man was last seen headed toward Durham on I-85. Anyone with information should call police.
And happening right now in the WRL Live Center this morning, South Africa accusing Israel of genocide in the Israeli-Gaza war. Hearings are happening right now. This is a live look. Israel has rejected the allegations, saying they plan to respond in court tomorrow. Lawyers for South Africa have asked judges to impose orders on Israel, like halting Israel's military campaign in Gaza. But they say a decision on this will likely take weeks.
Michelle, thanks. The field of candidates for the Republican presidential nomination is narrowing. Days before the Iowa caucuses, Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley faced off last night in Des Moines. The two top challengers to former President Donald Trump for the nomination attacked each other's qualifications for the job. Each said it's not just about policy. They argued the other is fundamentally unfit to be president.
We don't need another mealy-mouthed politician who just tells you what she thinks you want to hear just to try to get your vote, then to get in office and to do her donors' bidding.
He's only mad about the donors because the donors used to be with him, but they're no longer with him now. And that's because he's upset about the fact that his campaign is exploding.
DeSantis accused Haley of being someone who would repeatedly cave to the, quote, woke mob. Haley, meanwhile, repeatedly called DeSantis a liar and trashed his campaign for wasting money on private jets.
Just hours before the debate, Chris Christie announced he's dropping out of the race. He made that announcement during a town hall in New Hampshire. He has not given an endorsement to another candidate. At that event, Christie was caught on a hot mic saying former President Trump would crush Nikki Haley. Trump addressed that during his own town hall last night in Iowa.
He had a hot mic where he was talking to somebody about the weather, and he happened to say that she doesn't have what it takes. She'll be creamed in the election. And I mean, I know her very well, and I happen to believe that Chris Christie is right. That's one of the few things he's been right about.
Trump also indicated he has made up his mind about who he would tap as a running mate if he wins the Republican nomination. His campaign quickly downplayed that remark, though, telling NBC News nothing is finalized about a potential VP pick.
Durham leaders are looking for your thoughts on how the city's upcoming budget should be prioritized. A community conversation on the budget is planned tonight from 6 to 8. It's happening at the Holmes Recreation Center on South Alston Avenue. Two more forums are planned for January 20th and 23rd. There will also be a virtual meeting on January 30th.
We're at 6:10 right now on your Thursday, and Google lays off hundreds of employees across several departments. Why it says it is making this move and how it affects its focus on AI technology.
And who can forget this unforgettable image of U.S. Airways aircraft floating down the Hudson? That happened 15 years ago this month. A preview of an exclusive interview with Captain Sully Sullenberger when our news continues. But right now, let's check in with Elizabeth. Chilly start ahead of another weather alert day.
That's right. Level 2 and 3 risk again for tomorrow. But this system will be different than the one that we saw on Tuesday. I'll explain coming up.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
We're nice and quiet this morning. Skies are clear, but temperatures are chilly as the kids are heading out to the bus stop this morning. Temperatures are right around freezing. I had a lot of frost on my windshield this morning, so you may need to plan a little bit of extra time to scrape this morning. This afternoon looks great, though. We're going to see mostly sunny skies with a temperature of 56. We may even climb into the upper 50s in a few places. Of course, tomorrow we have a level 2 and 3 risk for severe storms across our area. We're looking at the rain increasing as we get through the day. We take a look at our timeline for tomorrow, and it really looks like our best chance of thunderstorms begins at around 5 o'clock and ends at around 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock. And the evening time period is when we'll have the best chance of damaging winds, say between 8 and 10 p.m. We'll walk through that on Futurecast. Coming up, Brian.
Elizabeth, 614 right now. Just check with Raleigh 911. And they still have this crash up on the north side of Raleigh at Fox Road, right around Old Wake Forest Road. I haven't seen any delays on the sensors there just south of 540, and it should get cleared fairly quickly. We're going to take you to Johnston County, where I'm still watching that crash on 95 southbound around US 70 in the Selma area. No delay showing up on the sensors right now, but you likely will see that right lane blocked. So slow down as you head through that area and scoot over at least one lane if you can. Jeff.
Vice President Kamala Harris will be in North Carolina today. She'll be in Charlotte to talk about how to reduce gun violence in America. Harris will be joined by educators, counselors, and parents. This will be her ninth trip to North Carolina since being sworn in as VP.
New this morning, Google has laid off hundreds of employees, including people working on the Google Assistant app. The move comes as Google looks to lower costs and focus on artificial intelligence. Google called the layoffs part of the normal course of business. The union that represents workers at Google's parent company called the cuts needless.
Monday marks 15 years since the miracle on the Hudson. U.S. Airways Flight 1549 made an emergency landing on the Hudson River in New York. WRL's Ken Smith is here with how Captain Sully Sullenberger is reflecting on his role as that aviation emergency unfolded, Ken.
Yeah, Jeff, that flight was headed from LaGuardia to Charlotte. I remember being sent to Charlotte to get interviews of passengers when they arrived later that night. Well, this morning on Today, Captain Sully Sullenberger reunites with members of the NYPD Aviation Unit who assisted in that frigid water rescue. And in an exclusive interview with Craig Melvin, Sully recounted the moment he and his co-pilot realized a water landing was their only option.
Was there a part of you that thought, this could really go sideways pretty quickly? Or did you think immediately, I'm going to do it. This is going to work. I'm going to save these lives.
The latter. I mean, yeah, my definition of success was complete, absolute. But I was confident that if I could keep the airplane intact and land in a way that people didn't get hurt during the landing, it would float long enough for us to be rescued.
Five people did get hurt, but all 155 passengers and crew survived that emergency landing on the Hudson River. And coming up on Today, hear what Sully and his co-pilot said to each other the moment the aircraft came to a stop on that river. This is an exclusive interview you'll only see this morning on Today, starting at 7. And Jeff, that plane is actually at the Sullenberger Aviation Museum in Charlotte, and that flight number was retired.
208 seconds from the time it took off till it was in the water. Can you imagine the terror that happened there? Miracle. Thanks, Ken.
Fort Liberty's newly renovated USO Center will officially reopen today. A ceremony is happening at 9 this morning. The renovation was one of 100 community projects in 2023 as part of Lowe's Hometown Program. The USO Center provides services and support to nearly 7,000 service members and their families each month.
All right, check out some of this video from Hampton Beach, New Hampshire. A major storm sweeping through New England caused widespread flooding. This is video that shows waves crashing onto a main road there. Other parts of that video, I saw people taking pictures and taking video and photo, just standing there, letting it come over the wall. The beach becomes part of the street there. Elizabeth Gardner in the WR Severe Weather Center right now. The whole nation has been feeling some sort of wicked weather this whole week.
Yeah, so that system that came through here and brought us the severe weather on Tuesday moved on up to the northeast, dumped a lot of snow in places, and created those waves there in New Hampshire. It created a lot of snow across the middle of the country. This system that we're looking at for tomorrow isn't as potent as that one, at least not yet. I'll show you why coming up. A timing for this for tomorrow likely to be sometime between 4 and 5 o'clock to around 11 o'clock or midnight. We have a level 2 and 3 risk, but the level 3 risk has shrunk a little bit this morning, which is great news. Damaging wind and a few isolated tornadoes are possible. Here's a look at where that storm is. Now, Tuesday's storm had its source down here in Southern California, so a little bit warmer. The ability for it to hold more moisture, it traveled southward, picked up a lot of moisture out of the Gulf of Mexico, so we ended up with some flooding. We had a lot of rain, of course, stormy conditions. This one has its source up in the northwest, and so it's a colder system. It doesn't give it the same ability to hold moisture. There is a little bit of snow with it. As it sinks southward, it'll start to collect some moisture from the Gulf of Mexico. But we're talking about an average of a half an inch of rain versus an inch and a half to 2.5 inches that we saw on Tuesday. Here's a look at our severe threat. It is a level 2 risk for most of us. More of our viewing area was under the level 3 risk yesterday, but the Storm Prediction Center pulled that back a little bit. So the southern part of Cumberland County, most of Hope County, and the southwestern portion of Moore County are under that level 3 risk. This is where we'd be more likely to have a few isolated tornadoes. In that level 2 risk, we could see some, but we're more likely to see straight line wind damage, which can do plenty of damage. It can knock down trees onto cars, houses, cause some damage. The greatest chances for tornadoes are going to be, again, closer to the South Carolina line and down into South Carolina and the rest of the Deep South. This is a look at where we'll have the best fuel for thunderstorms. We'll pause it here at 9 o'clock and notice it's really from Fayetteville or Harnett County southward, much closer to the coast, and for a brief period of time from like maybe 9 to 11 o'clock. So we may not see a lot of severe storms until those evening hours. We take a look at Futurecast, and we'll start the day tomorrow with some sunshine. We'll end up with some scattered thunderstorms or at least some rain starting right after lunchtime. None of that's likely to be severe, but once we start to see this next band from 4 to 5 o'clock moving on in, there could be some isolated stronger storms there with some wind damage. And then here comes the line. This is 8:30, 9 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock as it moves across the area. Just some isolated cells could produce some wind damage. Our forecast rainfall, again, not looking that impressive, anywhere from about 1/4 of an inch to 3/4 of an inch with an average of about 1 inch. We will have windy conditions like we saw on Tuesday. Just winds ahead of the thunderstorms could end up being as much as 25 to 40, 45 miles per hour. So our biggest threat is going to be wind damage. Our tornado threat is a little lower than what we saw on Tuesday, and our flooding risk is pretty low as well. It'll be a warm day tomorrow, 64 degrees. Of course, it's a WRL Weather Alert Day. It's looking nice and quiet for the holiday weekend with our next best chance of rain on Tuesday, Brian.
It's just about 621 right now. Still have that crash up on the north side of Raleigh at Fox Road at Old Wake Forest Road. That came in as a report of a crash with injuries a little more than an hour ago. Still apparently an active scene just south of 540. Not seeing delays on the sensors. Just want to give you a heads up that you could see some police activity lingering in that area. Also still have the report of that crash on 95 southbound around US 70 in the Selma area. So far we're not seeing any delay showing up on the sensors. At last check, that right lane reportedly was blocked. Taking a live look at those major approaches into Durham, no big delay showing up on 40 westbound, leaving Raleigh from Wade Avenue to 885. You're looking fine. And out of Hillsboro on 85 northbound, no delays.
Brian, thanks. A Garner woman talks to WRAL after a gigantic tree crashed through her home from this week's storm.
I am so lucky to be alive. I'm really just amazed that I survived this.
How she escaped her close call and the work that needs to be done to rebuild.
And one of college football's most well-known and successful coaches is calling it quits. Nick Saban says his legendary career at the college level is over after 7 national championships. J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez, poking some fun at herself in a new music video.
Brian Schrader here now with What's Trending. Brian.
A new single called Can't Get Enough, and the video plays off Lopez's series of failed marriages.
Here we go! Who's next? Is this real life?
Don't catch it, it's cursed.
Take me on.
That's good. She gets married to different men through the video, but it ends on a serious note with Lopez listening to male voices off camera complaining about her busy schedule.
So J-Lo is on husband number 4. Of course, we know it's all Ben Affleck. She's had a few engagements that never made it to the altar. But way to poke fun of herself there. This new single is the first one released from her upcoming album, This Is Me Now.
Another reason that she's so lovable.
She's in a good place now. Yeah. She seems happy.
Yeah. And able to make fun of herself, yeah, which is always a good thing. Yeah. Selena Gomez is going to play legendary singer Linda Ronstadt in an upcoming biopic. That's according to Rolling Stone. Gomez teased it earlier this week on her Instagram page. Linda Ronstadt, of course, won 11 Grammys during her career. Her manager is attached to this upcoming project, so this is an official kind of thing.
She's had an amazing career. She stopped performing when she got Parkinson's, but as she looks back at some of the things, the Rolling Stone magazine is pointing out, she even said herself, she's like amazed at how much she has done in her career.
Yeah, 77 years old and just one of the most beautiful, distinctive voices.
For sure.
Thanks, Brian. One of the greatest college football coaches of all time is stepping away. Nick Saban says he's retiring after 28 seasons as a head coach. The last 17 were spent at the University of Alabama. Crimson Tide won 6 national championships under Saban. Before that, he also won one as head coach at LSU. He also developed 4 Heisman Trophy winners, including current Carolina Panthers quarterback Bryce Young.
Today, you can weigh in on plans for the fastest growing part of Wake County. Coming up, how what you say today could impact the future of that area.
And we're bracing for some severe storms tomorrow. It's a WRL weather alert day. I'll show you the differences between what we saw on Tuesday and what we're expecting tomorrow. Coming up.
We are hearing from the CEO of Boeing after last week's near catastrophe on an Alaska Airlines flight. His reaction to seeing the massive hole in that plane and what he says caused the mid-air blowout.